T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego.
I mean, if you're going to learn any language, you figure out how to,
curse words first.
Curse at somebody.
Can we swear in Spanish on the radio?
No.
What about French?
You know what? French is fine.
Why'd you just do that?
French is fine.
French is fine.
So I was being facetious.
So
Okay, your first FCA violation.
It goes without saying, but Derek White picked a good time to have a kid.
What a hot start here for the Boston Celtics. This is a 21-point turnaround here in the first quarter.
And Jimmy Butler, maybe not that scary.
You know who Jimmy Butler reminds me of?
Yeah.
Who that?
Hannibal Lecter.
What?
We pick through the beating the Celtics put on the Heat as we broadcast live from Trevor Story's house.
There's a drive to left field. Way back. A 3-home run game for Trevor Story. Can you believe it?
Lou Merlone.
Just maybe float it. Just float it. Okay. C-sections are really hard recovery, I understand.
Why can't we zoom?
Christian Fourier.
You do not take the cheese.
So it's not even about seeing the birth of your child. You just don't want to get the doghouse with mama?
Yes.
Megan Ottolini.
You're only funky as your last hit. That's what the kids say, I think.
Merlone, Fourier, and Mego are live from the Ford Clubhouse Studio at Fenway.
The line is you're only as funky as your last cut.
Oh, last cut. There
good
you
enough.
Go. All
okay.
Right, close enough. All right, let's move on. Let's pretend like that didn't happen.
On Boston Sports Original.
Daddy needs to play for the Celtics because we got to win.
WEEI.
All right, we're down here at Fenway Park at the Ford Clubhouse. People walking around outside getting ready for the Sox tonight. We're talking Celtics as they take game two, 127-102. I'm telling you, it is over. You got Smart back. You got Tatum back. I mean, Horford's back, rather. Derek White is waiting for game three. And I think the Miami Heat basically got a little reality check. They thought it was all fun and cute without the two of the better defenders on this basketball team. And I think it was a reality check. And maybe they won't hit home until after game three and they get the ass whooped. But it's going to hit home at some point. They don't have enough to beat your Boston Celtics.
So you're calling it right now. Season's tied up 1-1. Series is tied up 1-1. They probably had one of their worst games shooting. You had one of your best games shooting. You know, they were energized by Marcus Smart and his calming effect and Al Horford and his great presence in the locker room.
And the gather point.
And the gather point didn't exist because the Heat don't have their...
Yes.
The Heat don't have a gather pointer.
Yeah.
They don't have a gather pointer.
That's what they're missing.
So that's what it is, right?
It's it's Rocky, what was it, 3? You can't, Rocky IV,
you can't win, Rock.
You can't, Adrian always tells the truth. No, you can't, they can't.
Give up enough, I'm sorry, because
we sat here and talked about the Bucks and said Giannis is an imposing factor. He impacts the game, and there's a lot of stuff going on around Giannis and trying to stop him, but his cast isn't good enough. Jimmy Butler's cast isn't good enough, and he doesn't impact the game like Giannis does. He's still a great player, but his cast is not good enough. Kyle Lowry being out is killing this basketball team and any chance they have of beating the Celtics.
You know what, Lou? I think even if Kyle Lowry was playing, even if he was healthy, I still think that this wouldn't be that close of a match between these two teams. They're both great defensive teams, but the Celtics are just so much more versatile. They're going to kill you with Rob Williams on the glass. They're going to kill you with Jason Tatum shooting. They're going to kill you on the defensive end with anybody out there. They're going to use Al Horford to spread the floor. Marcus Smart is going to be the pest on Jimmy Butler through the whole freaking series. And the Heat, it doesn't, I know Spoelstra is an elite coach. He is one of the top five best coaches. We talk about top five all the time. He's one of the best top five coaches in this league. And he can make adjustments till the cow comes home. But guess what? When you're adjusting against this defense, so you're trying to switch them so that they got little Peyton Pritchard out there, guarding Jimmy Butler. Well, guess who's right behind Pritchard? Big Daddy Al Horford. Or, we're going to swing the other way. Just get it away from
Big
Marcus
Daddy.
Smart. get away from Marcus Smart.
Is Peyton from the country?
Well, big bottom Grant Williams is right there. So it's just a pick your poison scenario, and I don't see any way, especially with it swinging back to Boston now, a Saturday night lubed up crowd in TD Garden, that the Heat can take game three.
Okay, can you guys at least allow yourself to admit that maybe they just, like, they were not into this game, the Heat. I know that the Celtics started off slow, and then they slowly came around, then they just couldn't miss a shot, and then it was obvious that
they were not into it, or they were not in it, because I agree with the second one.
Both. I feel like they realized, like, it's just not our night, we can't hit any shots. And I mean, Jimmy Butler tried in the third quarter, he tried to kind of, you know, give him a spark. It wasn't enough, and it was too late. But can't you just sit there and look at it and go, all right, the Celtics had a bad quarter, they let one slip away, but then the Heat just, you know what, they had an entire bad game. So there's no hope for them whatsoever coming back, realizing the opportunity that is in front of them, playing with a lot more anger and attitude, because that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, but
what
Christian,
you really did okay. is you just angered Jimmy Butler. You know that, right?
You can get angry all day. By the way, Giannis called, and he heard that you said that Jimmy Butler was scarier than Giannis, so he's going to come down here and see how dangerous he looks.
Now you're really going to find out how angry and how dangerous Jimmy Butler is. Let me give you one more chance, Butler.
Speaking of Jimmy Butler, so he spoke after the game, after this embarrassing loss. And he talked about that. He talked about what the Celtics did to the Miami Heat. This is what he had to say.
I don't like to move on from this because it has to hurt. They tried to embarrass us. They did embarrass us. So I think we got to realize that. Use it as fuel, whatever you want to say, but realize that the game can get out of hand whenever you're playing against a really good team like them that can score the ball and get stops. So overall, we just have to be better. We got a tough job to do to go over there and win. But if they did it, we can do it as well.
He'll be ready to play. I mean, he'll be ready to play. You know, we talked to Gary Washburn earlier, and he's talking about Game 3. He expects them to come out and to be aggressive, by the way, like they were in Game 2, up 10 early, right? And the Celtics withstand that punch and then smoke them the rest of the game. So, yeah, they'll come out in Game 3, maybe with that same first half of that first quarter type thing. But like you said, expect Spoelstra to scheme, to do different things. And that's it. That's what they have. Like Spoelstra, can you scheme? Can you try to slow them down? Because man-to-man, you can't beat this team. You're not as talented as the Boston Celtics. You're not as big as the Boston Celtics. You don't have as much depth in scoring as the Boston Celtics. You just don't have it. And that's why I just sit there and say it's when you say like game one and game two was just one different. No, like game two was like the Celtics. Game two was Marcus Smart, Al Horford. That's who the Celtics are. And they're with Kyle Lowry. Well, he's out pretty much for this series. If he tries, he's going to be ineffective. But you finally got who the Celtics are. And now you get Derek White, who's going to give you some defense in some minutes. Maybe limited, but still, there's more defense in your face. Like, they're just too, they're overwhelming this team with size and defense and versatile scoring. So
Gabe Vincent can't, like, just suddenly figure it out. Max Strus can't just find a stroke. Tyler Hero can't give you 40 because it looks like that's what he's going to need.
Sure can.
I don't think what you saw last night was a true account of what the Heat are, and I don't think you necessarily saw what the Celtics are. You saw a perfect version of that with a lot of attitude because, you know, two important guys came back, I think energized them, and they were embarrassed in that first game, especially in the third quarter. But The Heat are not just going to lay down. They're just not. And you're going to have to take it away from them. So we'll find out. We'll find out if they're willing to kind of go toe-to-toe again after the Heat were embarrassed. You know Spoelstra's going to be in their air. You know Jimmy Butler is going to force the issue. And he won't just force the issue in the third quarter.
Besides Tyler Hero? Because Tyler Hero, he's sixth man of the year, but he's not a number two. Jimmy Butler.
I just feel like you guys are just, you know, you're overly confident.
Yeah.
You're overly confident because of how well everything played out and how perfect it was.
Yes.
Yes. So I think that you're
I don't
just,
think it's overly confident, I think, though. I think it's for a reason. That's all. I think
I'll
it's for a reason.
I'll say this much. To your point, Christian, they're not going to shoot 51% again from the field. Like, they're not going to do
61.
That. They're not going to put up. Well, no, that was Tatum.
No, I'm saying they're going to shoot 60. Oh, okay. They're going to be even better.
Well, Tatum's not going to shoot 61 again in this series. I don't believe that. They're not going to put up 4 3-pointers from Jason Tatum, 4 3-pointers from Jaylen Brown, 5 3-pointers from Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart probably won't have 12 assists again. If he did, then it will be another blowout like this because that offense is so. I mean, and it's just like clockwork when the ball is moving well through him. So I don't think it's going to be a blowout going forward. I originally had this series in six, and I feel like a dope. Like, I think it might be five. I think it might be a gentleman's sweep.
Okay.
So I would say this. Like, Miami, I respect them, right? They're tough. They're Jimmy Butler, right? And I think Kyle Lowry is a tough son of a gun, but he's not here. Who's their next best defender?
Strus.
How about P.J. Tucker?
Strus? If you're talking about Strus in the Strus. Top three, in trouble, well, Christian.
This is the thing. So P.J.
I feel like he's due.
Bam's not been good.
Bam, too. Okay, but P.J. Tucker is the guy that's been in, you know, on Tatum early on. He's getting an MRI in his knee. He had to leave that game. So all of a sudden now you're looking at this team that's like toughness based on defense, and like they got a dog in Kyle Lowry who ain't playing. Maybe P.J. Tucker is not playing, and you're just who takes that place? Does he go to Duncan Robinson to try to get some offense? They will absolutely abuse that human being every time he steps on the court. Like, they will attack him. They will get the matchups. Like, so this great defensive team is all of a sudden now they're missing a couple of attitude guys, a couple guys to get after it a little bit. It's just not going
to
work.
And no, I think that is so detrimental to the Heat, because if they had a chance at beating the Celtics in this series, it would be coming from some art of war crap, you know, some strategic get in their head, because they did a little bit of that in that third quarter in the first game where you saw PJ Tucker really starting to annoy Jason Tatum. You saw Jason Tatum and Grant Williams start to melt down a little bit, get teed up, and then Grant Williams gets his fifth foul and yelling at the refs and all that crap where this team starts to beat themselves. I just don't think in the strength, size, or health of the Heat that they have the guys out there to do that.
So realistically, every single game should be a comfortable win. There shouldn't be any last second free throws. There shouldn't be any situational, you know, sideline plays, you know, to try and win a game or to tie it up. Every single game, the Celtics should win it comfortably.
It's not going to be like this game recently, but I mean, you know, it's
what does a close game look like?
Because it was also not an entertaining game, so I hope it's more competitive.
No, I'm saying it'll be good game. I mean, you could win a basketball game by 4, 5, or 6 points, and it's like, you know, nail biter, whatever, but you just pull away because you're the better team. And I think there's one guy that kind of makes you a little bit nervous if this guy wakes up. Let's go to Brendan in New Hampshire, wants to bring that up. Go ahead, Brendan.
Yeah, I was going to say my one fear, and what up, guys, by the way, and hey, Mega, was Bam Adebayo. I mean, he averaged 19-10 this season, and he's not played like that so far in the last 5, 6 games. And you have one of Tyler Herro go off, Bam finally wakes up, and Butler's Butler, then we could be in trouble pretty quick. I don't think we're going to lose the series by any means, but I don't want it to drag on any longer than it has to because we haven't had any rest.
Yeah, Brandon, I would agree. Bam Adebayo is an issue. He's been quiet the first two games. Why do you think that is?
Well, last night, I think that there's just, you got three bigs who can neutralize him. I mean, I'd say at least two bigs, 2.5.
Exactly. I'm just saying, like, exactly. Like, why is it? Well, because Rob Williams and a lot of people felt like could be, you know, defensive player of the year or first team. And then you got Al Horford, who even at like 59 years old will still be a great defender in this game. So, I mean, you've got two guys battling with Bam Adebayo. And you're talking about 19-10. All right. I mean, if Bam goes for like 19-10, do you lose? Can you take over a game? You can have a good game.
Right.
And it's, you know, it doesn't mean you automatically lose. So will he be better? Sure. But I think there's a reason why he's been struggling. And it's because of the defense of the Boston Celtics. Once again, it's just who they are. All right, listen, we're going to take a break here real quick. When we come back, Mago brought this discussion up off the air. We brought it, talked about it a little bit earlier in comparing this team to 2008. Is that a fair comparison, or is it disrespecting that 08 team? We'll do it next on Maloney, Fourier, and Mego.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
We're going to take your calls here on the Boston Celtics. What you think game three? But before that, just a little update here from Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports. He had this on Twitter. The Miami Heat say that Kyle Lowry, hamstring, and P.J. Tucker, knee, are both questionable for Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals tomorrow against the Celtics. So, again, P.J. Tucker having an MRI on that knee. He left that game early. Right now, he's been one of their top defenders. He's been on Tatum for a while. And Kyle Lowry, who's dealing with a hamstring. Now, I'll remind you that he played the first three games against Atlanta. Really wasn't that effective in those games. Missed the first four games, four games in a row. Came back against Philly, played 25 minutes, 0-for-4 from the floor, no points. Came back the next night, played 30 minutes against Philly, was actually 3-for-10, but 0-for-6 from three, got 6 points. Just hasn't been effective. I mean, that's been a couple of weeks, so we'll see if he can come back, because that hamstring thing seems to be bothering him. So let's get back to the phone calls. Let's go to Justin, who's all fired up, of course, after that one. Justin, go ahead, pal.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, jeez.
All right, that was incredible. I think, you're down 10 points. You're in Miami, and you're able to go on a 48-10 run was just huge in someone else's house. Yeah. I think it's huge that Ime is able to find what they're doing wrong and correct it. I don't know if that's because he was a player or what, but I think it's huge how these boys are able to respond. And nobody's got Miami's back. I'm looking at the clock, and it's 6 minutes in the fourth, and that building was almost empty. And you're going to come up to the TD Garden and put it on us like that? I don't think so. I think these boys are clicking. Bam was doing a little bit yesterday, and then who got on him? Was in his jersey for the rest of the night was Grant Williams. I think that was huge. Marcus Smart all over Jimmy Butler. That was huge. These boys are a little too strong defensively. I don't think the Heat can take it up against us. I think the Heat are a little bit too small.
All right, Justin.
I don't know, man.
Appreciate it, buddy. Okay, I know you're fired up. We got to get moving on the callers.
He did use a phrase I really like in his jersey. I need to incorporate that more. You know,
all right.
It's very visual. It's a very visual line in
like
his
a
jersey.
New version of like he's in all your wheelhouse.
Over you. No. He's saying that it's physical. He's all over you.
In the fosh.
In your jersey.
In the fosh.
In the fosh.
Taking the pipe.
Right in
taking the pipe.
Let's go to Garrett in Boston. Garrett, go ahead.
Hey, thanks, guys. So, yeah, you guys talking about Bam earlier. Obviously, he's going to have one game in the series where he blows up. He did that with the Sixers series, too. He's gotten, 6 points and then 4 points, something like that, this series. So, you know, I still got Boston in six just because I think Bam will have a good game and they'll get Heat closer, but not too close. I just want to say, what a play by Marcus Smart. Obviously, in the third quarter, he had a great cross that, made everybody look silly there on the Heat. But the play where Jaylen Brown started digging down into the paint literally brought four defenders in on him and then dished it out to Smart, who made the shot while getting fouled while pretty much being in the stands over the hoop. That was great to see. So, And then lastly, Mago, you've referred to Al Horford as Big Daddy Al Horford. Maybe you have to refer to him like that every time going forward. Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Carrot.
What?
Yeah,
there you
Chris
go, Big
Cross,
Daddy.
Chris Crossmeyer is smart. Broke some ankles. Yeah, Luce got a fan outside knocking on the window. It's a young lady. Be careful there.
Well, always good with the young ladies. That's not good. Joe,
oh,
what's up,
God.
So is Greg Hill.
Go ahead, Joe. Joe in West Virginia.
Christian, Mago, I just want to touch two things I want to comment on. One, Boston Celtics crowd has been just amazingly awesome. And it's like, you don't need any kind of organ music to get them to chant defense, which they have to do in Miami. So I like that. And secondly, I do like Jimmy Butler, stylish player. Reminds me of like of a little Adrian Dantley or Jamal Wilkes or maybe even a Kevin Durant. But you know what? Against the Boston Celtics, not going to work. You got to have a brute like Giannis to really match, you know, because a matchup might work against Golden State for Miami, but it's not going to work against the Seas. All right. Hey, thanks, guys.
I mean, everything is like some random, like, it's not going to work against us, and we're never going to take this anymore. It's like, there's not even, like, a question. It's like, I just want to talk about how great we are, how no one's going to beat us, and we're the best, and you suck.
Well, I don't think the issue is Jimmy Butler here. Like, Jimmy is doing pretty much all that he can. He has a ceiling, and I think you got to look at the supporting cast around him and ask where guys like Adebayo and Oladipo are. And if Kyle Lowry comes back questionable, as he's listed, means it's 50-50 shot that he comes back. Even if he comes back, he hasn't played for how many weeks now?
The whole, I mean, couple any of these series.
It'll be a couple of weeks. Yeah. And again, it's.
And he wasn't effective
he wasn't
before
effective
that,
at
which
all
was obviously a health
game.
Thing.
Yeah,
if
he
he's
wasn't
healthier
good.
Now, it's still a rust situation.
See, the deal with Miami is that they're probably like having the same conversation that we have had about the stars on this team and the other role players that need to kind of elevate their play. Like, Jimmy Butler needs to give you 35 to 40 points, like, to start with. I'm not getting out. I'm not getting, you know, I'm not agreeing to anything unless he gives you 40. Then the other guys have got to chip in also.
Yeah, but we're talking about the difference between Jaylen Brown and Max Strus.
I'm just saying. Well, I wouldn't use. We keep going to Max Strus, and of course they're not in the
okay,
same
sorry,
class. But
Gabe
I would use
Gabe Vincent.
I would go to Bam Adebayo. I would start with him. I would go to Hero. Hero next. I mean, they
Grant
do,
Williams. That's your sixth
and
man.
And so we know that Grant Williams has a case of the inconsistencies.
Christian,
okay?
They just don't have the depth and they don't
I'm
have the versatility.
I'm not saying that they do. I'm telling you that what they're doing in Miami is the same thing we have done to a lesser extent. Right. Well, the only way they win this, the only way they get back into this is those other guys play out of their mind. And they all do it at the same time. Because two guys isn't enough. It needs to be at least three.
It's not going to work against the Seas.
So Christian's seen it in the eyes of his favorite, Pat Riley, and he's actually loves the heat. Loves the heat. So I'm going go to go to Joe
guy.
In the car. Joe, what do you got? Go ahead.
Christian, what's your problem? You're like a nervous snelly. Will you love those guys? Or you want to make love to those freaking Miami Heat guys? Come on. Hey, the Celtics guy, the Miami Heat has no chance, man. Marcus Smart, Christian. You see the way that guy played yesterday, Christian? What are you all nervous about, you nervous snelly?
I like it. Thanks, Joe.
You know what? Jimmy Butler.
Oh, jeez, Jimmy Butler.
Here he comes. You've angered him.
Good.
You've made him mad.
Let Jimmy
now
Butler do his
thing.
Now
he's going to take out his frustration on you.
Jimmy had a good game.
See, now my mic sounds good.
He had a good game. Just that he's going up against.
Talk like that for the rest of the show.
The whole time.
All right, listen, I'm going to bring Dave into this conversation because this is something that we brought up earlier in talking about this 2022 team. Versus the 2008 team that won a championship. We were talking about comparing the two. I'll let Dave introduce it. Go ahead, Dave. Dartmouth.
All right, so I'm going to throw Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen at you. But
yeah.
Who on this team are you throwing back at me, first off?
Well, I would say that I would throw Jason Tatum.
Okay, there's one.
I would throw Jaylen Brown. I would throw Marcus Smart. I would throw Al Horford. I would throw Rob Williams. And I would throw Grant Williams. I would throw five or six to combat.
Well, that's my second point. So your top-end talent on this team isn't even close to the top three I can give you from that team. And then second...
Well, let me ask you a question.
Sure you
when the Celtics...
The
well, hold on one second. One question. When the Celtics won that championship, any of those guys top five player in the NBA? That time?
That team was 10 deep.
10 deep?
10 deep.
Okay.
10 deep of grown men. Not kids, not young kids. 10 deep of grown men. I mean, and we're talking generational players like Kevin Garnett. I mean, you don't even know what Tatum's going to be yet. I mean, yeah, I mean, he's turning out to be a great player. I give him all the credit in the world, but he's not a Kevin Garnett. He's not a Ray Allen. He's not a Paul Pierce. I mean, and not to mention the mentality of that team. You know, the only player on this team that could even mentally has, like, the grit and the balls that could even play on that team would be Marcus Smart. All of it, you know what I mean? And again,
no, I
don't,
I can't believe
I'm actually saying it. You don't.
No, thanks, Dave. Thanks for the call. Like, I don't, as a matter of fact. Like, you're pointing out the fact that that team was older, and there's really no debate.
Grown men.
I mean, they are. They're grown men. I get it. But it's, like, I'm just talking about in 08, was Kevin Garnett a top five player in the league?
Isn't Jason Tatum on track to be a much better player than Kevin Garnett was awesome, by
Paul
the way.
Paul Pierce a top five player? You have a top five player in the game right now. And KG was an absolute werewolf defensive player of the year. By the way, your point guard is the version of Kevin Garnett. It's not in the middle, but he's defensive player of the year. Like, he brings that intensity. You don't think Al Horford has the mental capacity to play on that basketball team?
What? If we're making this argument, which I'm the one who introduced this, so I'm going to take some responsibility for this. I said it's time to look at the 2022 team and compare them to the 2008 team. Now, they haven't gotten through the Eastern Conference Finals yet. They haven't gotten a final. They haven't gotten to the finals, and they haven't won the finals yet. But I think the ceiling for this team is a lot higher than that team. And I understand those are grown men, but guess what? In this argument, that's to their detriment. That's not in the plus column, because it's hard to recognize greatness as it's happening. And this team has the potential to be very special and to be great. Just listen to Gary Washburn. We talked to him about an hour ago, and he said the same thing with the first-year coach in Ime Udoka. They had a historic turnaround in the middle of the season. And if you look at the parallels between this team, statistically, in the 2008 team, that team started so strong. They won 62 games, blah, blah, blah. Well, when they got to the playoffs, they had to go 7 games with the Hawks in the first round. Then they had to go 7 games with LeBron's Cavs in the second round. Okay, you swept the Nets in the first round. Maybe they were a low seed and everything, but they were more talented than their seed indicated. I think they just flopped and gave up. But then you took down Giannis's Bucks, and that, even without Chris Middleton, that is a legit team. Then that 2008 team went to Detroit, went 6. I think that's comparable to you going 5 or 6 with the Heat, which I think is what's going to happen. But if you look at the stats through that run, of that playoffs run of that team, you talk about these guys, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen. No disrespect. I was a huge fan of that team. I followed it very closely. But Ray Allen had a terrible playoffs run. He only averaged 15 points per game that season. Kevin Garnett was the leading scorer with 20.4 points per game. Paul Pierce went 19.7. Now look at your guys through 13 games, okay? You have Tatum, 26.9 points per game. Brown, 22.5 points per game. And then you got Horford, 12.8 points per game. But my point is, we're not sitting here comparing like the Bob Cousy era to this team. And I understand they were champions. They get all the toast in the world. We have been toasting to that team for 15 years now. Can you recognize that something even better might be happening?
You can sense that they're building something special. And I would say if you look at that 08 team and you look at what they accomplished as a group, you could say they didn't nearly reach their potential.
No.
They really should have won at least two.
When you got back to the finals in 2010, no disrespect, but something very weird happened with LeBron. Like,
But this is how it works, though. You know, I remember when that 07-08 team were raving about how great that team was, and people were calling up going, still not as good as the mid-'80s Celtics. You know what I mean? So it's like, right, you hold teams close to you, you know, like championship teams. I'm a mid-'80s Celtics guy, talking about those teams. So it's like you sit, look at the 08 team, and you're like, Banner 17, KG, nobody was better than that team. And you're like, okay, yeah, they were very good, obviously. They won, what, 66 games in a regular season? They won a championship. It's just that when I look at this team, don't look at the record. You know, this is like the transition of what this team was early in the year to late in the year. The second half of the year, they're on pace of winning 60-plus games. Defensively, they're one of the best defensive teams. They're the best defensive team in basketball. I mean, they can rotate. They have size. They have multiple ways of scoring. I mean, this is a comparable team. I don't think it's outrageous at all. They're just younger.
And
that's all they are. They're just younger.
And how about this, Lou?
Which is a good
Christian
thing.
You didn't go out and get and woo free agents here. You didn't go out and make trades to get guys here. These are home, for the most part, your starters, these are homegrown guys.
Well, only Al is
these
the
are
only
guys
guy
that,
that
right,
isn't.
Right. And Al boomeranged and he wanted to come back.
And
he
we've adopted
him.
It's like we've raised him. Family. It's like we drafted him.
Yeah, he changed. He blossomed when he became a Celtic.
Of course.
But seriously, if you look at Gary brought up, so one thing that Gary Washburn, when we talked to him about an hour ago from the Boston Globe, he talked about how Danny Ainge has such an influence on who this team is right now. Yeah. And it's true. I mean, look, the way that things ended with Danny was not great. You know, I think everything, the way that this team was structured before, the way this franchise was structured before, had run its course. It was time for him to go. It seems like it was his decision to go. That's what everybody with the Celtics says. But he made the decision to choose Jason Tatum over Markelle Fultz. Like, that alone is a huge feather in his cap.
Well, no, he's got his fingerprints all over this team. But so, of course, he's going to get credit for it. Look, I picked all those guys. And thank God, like, Brad Steven, you know, had the ability. He's improved it. He's made it better. And just by hiring Ime was a step in the right direction. So, and when it's all said and done, if they're capable of winning a championship, how much credit are you going to give Danny Ainge? I mean, really, percentage-wise, what would you give him?
I feel like it's...
Zero.
What?
What do you mean zero?
Zero.
What? You drafted this team.
0.0.
No.
Zero. You left.
Well, you decided, just hate him because he's a Celtic in the 80s.
You wanted to leave and you couldn't finish the job and it was too hard and you wanted to go to Utah.
You just
have
like
fun
I said,
in Utah.
Like I said, this is like the 80s Lakers guy talking right now. Me talking about Kurt Rambis. Listen,
he's Danny thinking Ainge, about Pat Riley.
I hate like the whole, like, you know, Danny Ainge deserves a ton of credit for this team right now. But I do look at Brad Stevens and say, like, you know, rather than accumulating talent and accumulating your entire bench being all these guys you drafted and swung and missed on, like, Brad Stevens at least identified and said, no, I'm trading away picks. I'm getting Derek White, who has been key for them, who's been big for them. I'm bringing back Al Horford. I'm getting rid of Kemba Walker's deal. You know, he brought back Tice. I don't know if that's good for the locker room. I know I like him better than Enes Kanter. I can tell you that much. So Brad Stevens, I think, looked at this team and was more of like, okay, I'm going to put a team together, one that actually fits. I'm not going to just accumulate talent and sit around and wait for Romeo Langford. Like we said at the deadline, these deals, Danny Ainge wouldn't have done. So I give Brad Stevens a ton of credit as well. And he did hire Ime Udoka, which, to be honest with you, is the reason why this team is playing the way it is.
Hell yeah.
This
I agree
group
with
is
that.
Because of Ime Udoka. So maybe he gets even more than anybody else. But, of course, they acquired the talent. So, go, whatever. Split the pie any way you want.
but that's where it comes to me. Like, if this team wins the finals this year, and it's still very premature. They got a lot to go through they got there.
18.
It is. It is premature. But if they win this year, it may be a bigger victory for the Celtics franchise than 08. Because this was homegrown talent. This was done through your GM, through your draft. Like, and then you brought in the coach with your coach being the new GM. And like, this is everything when you're setting up a 5 to 10 year plan for a franchise. This is exactly, if they win the finals, this is exactly how you hope it's going to go. Best
case
scenario.
That's a whole nother conversation, which I'm sure we will be having multiple times. Is the longer they go through the playoffs, the farther they advance. I do think that this will be a big part of the overall, like, capping the whole transformation, as you would call it. Like, you know, even on the telecast last night, they were talking about, look at all the different guards that Danny Ainge brought in, from Kemba Walker to Isaiah Thomas.
Well, about Kyrie?
To Kyrie Irving. They brought all these different guys, and they had the guy right in front of them. They had the guy that could play the position, handle the circumstances, deal with all the personalities, and then be a calming presence all along right there. And it took Brad Stevens and Ime Udoka to figure it out that they didn't have to send more resources on guards because they already drafted a guard.
Marcus Smart was the girl next door. She was hot the whole time. You were going out trying to date the cheerleaders and everything. And you, just because she wears a baseball cap, she's
cute. And a ponytail.
Yeah.
And she wears glasses.
So who was Kemba Walker and who was Kyrie Irving?
They were the flavor of the week. They were on the dance team at school.
No, they were the ones with, like, the cardigans, sweaters, you know, around their necks and, like, you know, pegging their pants and, like, driving around in a convertible BMW.
They were like, oh, Tripp's having a party tonight.
Tripp's girlfriend. Yeah, let's go to Tripp's. I heard his parents are out of town.
All right.
We can raid his liquor cabinet.
All right, we're down here at Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio. And when we come back after this, we'll do last call and take a couple more of your calls. Try to compare this 08 team to 2022. We'll do it next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Well, we got last call. That is coming up in a little bit, but let's get to your phone calls. I want to see, let's go to Sean in the car that doesn't want to compare it to 08. Who should you compare this team to? Go ahead, Sean.
I think the team we need to be comparing these guys to is the Golden State Warriors before Kevin Durant got there. You know, to correct me if I'm wrong here, but the Warriors had themselves a new coach, and Steve Kerr came in, won the championship. They had a bona fide superstar in Curry, a bona fide all-star in Klay Thompson. We got Tatum, who's a superstar. Brown was an all-star. Their defensive stud was Draymond. We got Marcus Smart. They brought in the veteran Iguodala. We've got Horford. I think we check all the boxes there, and we're set up for a run just like they were.
I actually think that's an interesting comp because, you know, what better way to kind of – I always feel like every championship dynasty team has, like, some, you know, previous dynasty team that they have to go through. You know, you listed a bunch of them, like Detroit and, you know, Boston. And,
Celtics, you know, Pistons, and, Pistons, Bulls.
Sure, even the Bulls with the Lakers, you name it, or you whatever, you name it, you can go through it. So far, that would be ideal. You've finished off the Eastern competition, which would be the Bucks. So the you know, there's not going to be a back-to-back champ.
You know,
and then you go through, you know, the Warriors if you get that opportunity.
It is interesting because for a while there, when we were just trying to figure out who this team was, like who these players were, we were talking about how do you build it? Well, you're trying to build it like the Golden State Warriors, right? That was like the model. You know, with Curry and Klay and Draymond, and then we're like, you know, that's hard to do. It's just you can't build it that way. And here we are almost like 4, 5, 6 months later, and you look at the Celtics and you're like,
pretty
actually,
close.
That's kind of what they did.
No,
and maybe you are right in the beginning of this so-called window. We'll see what happens.
It's a very interesting idea floated out by Sean. Good job calling
like
the show
it.
Because it's guys that all came up through their system. And you say, well, they struck gold with those lottery picks. Mm-hmm. Well, could be you.
Let's go to Ryan in Connecticut. Seems a little harsh, but I'll go with it. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, I think I'm going back to Danny Ainge and the credit that he may deserve. I think it was Danny Ainge's Celtics that started this season, and then I think it was Brad Stevens and Ime Udoka that really turned the season around. So I don't really give much credit to Danny Ainge at all.
Not at all, huh?
Zero, huh?
Nowhere.
The trade with the Brooklyn Nets, drafting Jalen Brown, not going after Markelle Fultz, like drafting Tatum instead.
The first part of this season.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing.
Okay, good. I like it.
I hear you, Ryan. And
I don't see how you could possibly even believe that.
But it's like, you know, having a good GM can only take you so far. You have to have a coach who's going to push it through. So I don't think you can discredit Danny Ainge for where the team is now and say that, oh, it was only the first half of the season when they were losing that it's Danny's team. You know, I think like it took a little time for this team to settle in and understand who they were and, by the way, to get healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a while, they were playing no rotations together.
Let's go to Chris in Florida who wants to talk about Brad Stevens. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up the point of like the contract that Brad Stevens signed Marcus Smart to, which everybody at the time freaked out, and then they decided that it was a trade contract, and it looks like one of the best contracts that they've got.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. Did people really freak out over this Marcus Smart contract?
We did as a show because his playing style was so different when they signed that contract. But like last year, we were complaining about his shot selection still and not passing it to Tatum and Brown when he's on the court with them and being a my turn basketball player. So we didn't like it, but he's changed his style over the course of the year.
We were looking to see how quickly in the NBA league year that they could trade Marcus Smart.
That's what this, we were talking about with this team in January. In
See,
December.
the best thing that has happened to Marcus Smart is that they got rid of all these other, you know, self-described, you know, guards. Like, hey, Schroeder. The Kemba Walkers. Schroeder was an obvious issue for a while. And, you know, just because of his old contract situation, what he was trying to accomplish. But ultimately, like, not having the, you know, foresight to say, listen, this is the guy. Let's not replace him with Kyrie. Like, it's his when he yeah. when he's out there, I feel like it's. Like, it's his offense, for the most part, as far as who's in control. Like, you may say Tatum's in control or Brent. No, it's really Marcus Smart is in control of everything. And it's almost like he's obviously just, you know, accelerating what they can do.
I would say his growth as being the point guard and distributor is probably one of the biggest thing for this team. Because when you look at the previous point guards, you know, and when you get into a playoff situation or a series, Isaiah Thomas was picked apart. Kemba Walker was picked apart. Kyrie was picked apart defensively. Now, your playmaker, your point guard, is actually your best defensive player. You know what I mean? It's no longer your liability. He's your best defensive player. So you start talking about all-around upgrade? Is he as talented as some of those other guys as far as scoring goes? No, but playmaking and defense, more importantly, in the postseason, it's a game changer. There's no question about it. All right. We got last call, which, by the way, is brought to you by somebody. No, I know what it is. There we go. Last call. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car, you can donate your car today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or give them a call at 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Ryan, take it away.
Yeah, let's get into some blah, blah, blah hockey talk here. With the Tampa Bay Lightning have a very interesting pair doing their radio broadcast. It's Dave Mishkin and Phil Esposito, who I'm sure Bruins fans are very familiar with. Dave Mishkin has a very excitable style when he gets big calls, so I am going to give everybody with headphones a volume warning. So let's play. I got two of these. Dave Mishkin, the game-clinching, Game 7 winning goal from the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Toronto Maple Leafs.
They'll float it out to center ice. Matthews fell down, and it's taken away by Hagel. Back across the Toronto line. Hagel with the left circle. Hagel put it in front. Kalorn shoots, save made. Rebound point. Score! Score! Braden Point! Braden Point! Wins Game 6! 4-3 in overtime!
That's huge.
That was, of course.
Thanks for joining us,
Phil Esposito. Yeah,
that's huge.
Chipping in at the end. But then, of course, the magic with the Tampa Bay Lightning continues on because they managed to win in the final seconds. They're up 2-0 over the Florida Panthers. Final seconds of Game 2. What did that sound like, Dave Mishkin?
Across the blue line, right point Kucherov. Kucherov a little pass. Finds a stick of Ruda. Back for Kucherov, right circle. He is checked. Held in Palato, right point. Find the net, Kucherov. 5 to go. Kucherov, put it in front. Score! Score!
Unbelievable.
Ross Colton with 0.9 seconds left.
Barely.
Incredible! 2-1 Lightning! Kucherov magic!
And what a shot by Colton.
Hey, there we go. Phil's awake now.
Right, I mean, join in.
Boy, it is the nuttiest calls in radio and hockey.
Wow. Score! Kind
of reminds me of
Derek Johnson, the all-time leading tackler in the history of the Chiefs.
Oh, don't do it.
What a touchdown for Kansas City.
Don't do it to him. Sean hates that.
Does Sean hate that?
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I'm never going to have the opportunity to be on Monday Night Football and have my voice crack. I take that as a badge of honor.
All right, well done. Well done, Ryan. I like the calls. Guy, real quick, so Monday, Celtics up 2-1. Any doubt in anyone's mind at this point that the Celtics are up 2-1 going into Monday's show?
Nope.
Yeah, I'm going to say 2-1.
Oh,
2-1 who?
Say yes. 2-1.
What about
live in
Jimmy
reality.
Butler? What about Jimmy Butler?
Jimmy gets 50.
What about Pat Riley?
Riley is going to dye his hair black, slick it back, and he's going to bring back the old school vibe. And they're still going to lose.
Yeah, it's not enough.
It's just not enough.
Yes,
and on Monday, we will be where, Mego?
West End Johnny's.
Where are we going to be?
For 5 whole hours.
What?
We're doing like a marathon. It's like we're getting ready for a marathon. We're going to get our quick 5 hours. And yeah, we're going to be there all afternoon, right up to the game.
Swing down there. Game 4 at the Garden.
Yep.
Come on down to West End Johnny's. It's a great spot. It's one of the best spots down there. I absolutely love West End Johnny's. So come on down and say hi.
And you're
hi,
all
everybody.
Over their commercials too. So.
Well, I might have something to do with it. But it's outstanding food, good people, good times, good fun.
That's the problem. I'm going to be so preoccupied with the food.
Yeah, Johnny's
and Mutt's going to be with us. It's going to be me, Mutt, and Mego.
Oh, is that right? There you go.
Oh, that's a new me, Mutt, and Mego. I like the name of that show.
Oh, great. Lou's already been replaced.
Well, for a week at least. All right, don't lose all your money,
I got
all right?
Two words.
Don't lose all your money.
Vegas, baby. Yeah. And we'll see you guys. Listen, have a great weekend. Check back in Monday again down at West End Johnny's, 2 o'clock. So have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday at 2.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.